This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma'allamtana innaka anta al-alimul hakim. Allahumma alimna ma yinfa'na wa anfa'na bima'allamtana wa zidna ilma wa arina al-haqqa haqqan wa rizukna tiba'ah wa arina al-batila batilan wa rizukna shinabah wa adkhilna bi rahmatika fi ibadika salihin. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. Welcome everybody. Today inshallah will be our last part of Fiqh al-Salah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Next week, inshallah, we'll have our test, our review session. Well, let's call it a test, inshallah. So you got a whole week to study for it, inshallah. Come, we'll have some prizes, we'll have some food, inshallah. And that will include Fiqh al-Salah and Fiqh al-Janazah. So it's a lot of material. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I will make sure, inshallah, I share the slides. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. طيب. So alhamdulillah, intahayna from Fiqh al-Salah, all of these topics we've covered. And last week we started Kitab al-Janaiz, okay, and that's, we said it's included with the Fiqh al-Salah because of Salat al-Mayyit, because of Salat al-Janaz, Salat al-Mayyit, okay, praying of the dead. Right, we covered washing the deceased and the introduction. Today we'll talk about shrouding, bi-idhnillah. So, you know, because the Mayyit, basically, the rites of the Mayyit, tamam, is washing, right, shrouding, and the salah, and the burial. These are the four things that you have to think about when we talk about the deceased person. These are his rites, right, that we wash him, that we shroud him, we wrap him, that we bury, we pray on him, and then we bury him, and then we bury him. So four things, mumtaz. طيب. And then we'll talk about burying the deceased, and visiting, and mourning the deceased. طيب. Jameel, just some quick review questions, inshallah. Last week we talked about janazah. What does janazah mean? It refers to two things. What are the two things?
Janazah means the dead body itself.
The body itself, or?
Or the procedure of washing and
the cemetery. What were we going to say, Hassan? So we said only if the body is with it. Yeah, the actual, like, where you put the body, yani, if the body is with it, that's also regarded as janazah. طيب, what is the ruling on taking medication? We talked about taking medication. Huh? What was the ruling according to the madhab? We said it's a big mas'ala, yani, and there's scholars on both sides, and they have evidences on both sides, right? And they had the dalil of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu refusing to be medicated on his deathbed. And so it's allowed to refuse to take medication if the person is going to be patient, it's not going to affect his iman. And it's also allowed for the person to take the medication. So really it's not wajib for you to take the medication. طبعاً you use your hikmah. يعني if a person is sick and he can be cured, and he has responsibilities, فالأولى, and the person tries to fulfill his responsibilities. Because, you know, the other question we didn't cover is, are you allowed to ask for death?
No.
Huh?
Type,
what if I give you a verse? You're talking about, like, people on life support? Yeah, that's a big mas'ala. Yeah, that's another mas'ala. We didn't discuss it. But we have Maryam alayhi salam. Didn't she say in Surah Maryam, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha? She actually said, I wish that, yani, I was dead before this happened. Because it was such a big trial for her to come. You know, this religious person come pregnant without a partner. This is where it gets, the fuqaha, they discuss, are you allowed to, are you not allowed to, right? The dua that a person is allowed to make, yani to make my life longer, as long as it's good for me. Because we don't know if living longer is good for us or bad for us. Sah? And if you live longer doing good deeds, then khair. But what if a person is yani if he died right now, he's going to Jannah, but if he stayed longer, he might be, yani he might do sins. So that's why it's a good dua to make. And oh Allah, if it's good for me to live longer, yani, if it's better for me, then yani, increase my life, extend my life. And if it's not, yani, take me at that moment. Wallahu a'lam. طيب. What are some of the sunnahs when washing the deceased? Yeah, when washing the deceased, what are some of the sunnahs that we talked about? We talked about different things, so you might be like all over the place. But the most important thing is to know the minimum, the wajib. We said you have to wash him once. But what are the sunnahs? What are the sunnahs? طيب, this is before. هلا, okay, صح, close the eyes, close the lahya here, lahyatain. And what else now? We're washing him. How many times? Three times. For every part that you're doing, you do it three times, right? To try to empty, right, the stomach. What else? To put like to use what's it called?
Kafur,
na'am, and cleaning, right? طيب, what are the things that are disliked? And obviously start from the right side and these recommend. What are some of the disliked things? Hot water. Is it okay to use hot water? It's better to not use hot water, right? To avoid it. Just not to damage the body. What else?
Not cold.
Yeah, in the middle. Na'am. How about like brushing his hair? Combing the hair. What did we say about that? It's disliked. Why? Because you might pull off some hair, right? We don't want to like ruin or damage the body of the person, etc. Does the body of a 5-month-old baby get washed and buried? According to the rule we said last week. Na'am, yes. We said as long as it's about 4 months, okay, then the ruh has probably blown into that child, and he was alive, and he probably given a name, and he's washed, and he's buried, and he's buried. Less than that, no. Less than that, less than 4 months, no. Cool. We got lots to cover. Let's try to finish it, inshallah. Bismillah. So he says here, وَسَنَّ تَكْفِينُ رَجُلٍ فِي ثَلَاثِ لَفَائِفٍ. So the sunnah is to shroud the male in three. So now we've washed him, we dried him, right? From the sunan was to dry him. Now we want to put three white cloths, okay, on top of each other. Because what's going to happen, we're going to put the body, and now we're going to wrap the inside, then the second inside, and then the outside one. Okay, everybody try to picture with me. Okay, so for a man, takfin rajul fi thalathi lafa'if. We have the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, kufina Rasulullah ﷺ fi thalathi lafa'if biyid. Okay, that Aisha said that the Prophet ﷺ was wrapped in three sheets. Okay, white sheets, three white sheets. But we said the minimum is that as long as he's covered, then that would be sufficient. Okay, biyid ba'da tabkhiriha. They said you do tabkhir, you put bakhur on it, oud, you make it smell nice, right? Ba'da tabkhiriha wa yuj'al al-hanut. Okay. فيما بينها. الحنوط is a mix of like nice smelling things, okay, like perfumes, etc. Okay, so it's put in between so that the person is gonna smell nice, right? So it's recommended to wrap a man in three white sheets, okay, putting in bakhur on the sheets, use hanut, a type of scent, in the following locations. So between the sheets, okay. So now we want to try to make it smell nice between the sheets, okay. بينها ومنه بقطن بين Al-Yayhi, right? Also to put cotton in the back from his backside so nothing comes out, and to put hanut in there, and also walbaqi ala manafidh wajhahu, and also on the other openings of his face so nothing comes out, right? Ears and nose, etc. Right? Wa mawadi' sujudihi, and also to put that nice smell and the cotton where usually he the things that touch the floor when he prays, right? The elbows, the hands, the head, right? ثم okay يرد طرف العليا من الجانب الأيسر على شقه الأيمن. Now he tells you, then what you do, okay, يرد طرف العليا, okay, من الجانب. So now we've got, basically you've got, like some, we've got the bed sheet, or not, sorry, that you have the sheet, right, the white sheet, okay, and you have the person, right? Let's say his head is here, okay, we're gonna start from the top, okay, we're gonna start from the top, and we're gonna wrap. Now there's two ways you can understand it. I'm wrapping from the right side, my right side. I'm looking at him right now. He's down here. The head is here. The legs are here. My right side. And then you can also talk about his right side. Wadih? So you're going to, I'm going to talk about my right side. Okay. So we're going to take from my right side and put it over to my left side. Okay. Which will be his right side. Wadih, everybody? Cool. طيب. So, na'am? The head will be covered, inshallah. The head is the last thing. Okay. So, tamam, tamam, tamam. Cool. Yeah, then the washer wraps the deceased in the sheets one by one. He wraps the body by turning the right side of the sheet to the left side and vice versa. This is done three times, right? So if you understand, there's three sheets on top of each other. We'll start with the inside one first, right? So let's say there's three sheets here, head here, feet here. We're going to start, wrap, okay? And then wrap from the other side. And then we're going to do it again. And then we're going to close from the head. And then we're going to close and cover from that. And we're going to tie it. We're going to tie it so nothing is loose, nothing comes out, okay? ثم الأيمن على الأيسر ثم الثانية والثالثة كذلك. So we're going to do the second and the third, just like that. ويجعل أكثر الفاضل, the extra most of it, عند رأسه, okay? At the location of the head, yeah. Then he puts any extra fabric from these sheets over the deceased head. طيب, for a woman, what are we going to do for a woman? He says, وَسُنَّ لِمْرَأَةٍ خَمْسَةُ أَثْوَابٍ. For the woman, it's recommended five types of cloth. Okay, خَمْسَةُ أَثْوَابٍ. إِزَارٌ وَخِمَارٌ وَخَمِيسٌ وَلُفَافَتَانِ. اللفاف is basically the sheet that we're talking about, right? The Prophet ﷺ, three. Okay, the men, three. The woman, they say five types of cloths. So, إِزَار, like the bottom part, okay? وَخِمَار, the top part of the word that the woman wears, right? What qamis is like, literally kind of like a shirt or the full kind of, like what I'm wearing right now, or anything kind of a bit shorter, that would be called a qamis. That would be called a qamis. And then basically two pieces of white cloth. Tamam, those are five. Bottom part, al-izar, al-khimar, top part, a qamis. Okay, that's three parts usually that the woman wears nowadays, right? And then basically two pieces of cloth, okay? وَصَغِيرَةٍ, and the young girl who's not baligha yet, قَمِيسٌ وَلُفَافَةً. Just the qamis is sufficient, okay? And two white sheets, okay? وَالْوَاجِبُ ثَوْبٌ يَسْتُرُ جَمِيعِ الْمَيِّتِ. The wajib, the obligation is to, يعني, just like we know in Uhud, right? That when the dead were burying the dead of the Muslims, يعني, they don't have sufficient sheets. One is enough. One is enough to cover his body. One is enough to cover his body. That's the wajib. That is the wajib. So for a woman, it is recommended, okay? It's recommended that she be placed in five types of cloths: a izar, a waistcloth, a khimar, a headscarf, a shirt, and two white sheets. For a young girl, a shirt and two sheets. This is what is recommended. Obviously, recommend this is sunnah. We said the wajib is what? Again, for everybody? One sheet. Tamam? You might be telling yourself, I don't need to know this, maybe. When am I going to need this? Wallah, you never know. You never know, subhanAllah. Yeah. What if you're on top of the mountain somewhere? I don't know. Yeah. Or you're stranded with somebody and you have to bury them. One day you're going to be doing this, inshallah. And this is a fard kifaya on the whole ummah, right? If you're the only one in some small town, in Alberta or wherever you're going to go, tamam, then maybe you will be responsible. طيب, Jameel, the minimum obligation is to cover the whole body. Yes, we said that. Cool. طيب, now we go to صلاة الميت وحمله ودفنه. طيب. Bismillah. He says, وَتَسْقُطُ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِ بِمُكَلَّفٍ. The salah, khalas. Now, because it's a fard kifaya, as long as one person prays it, khalas, then the obligation has been lifted. Okay? تَسْقُطُ, يعني, it is lifted. الصَّلَاةُ عَلَيْهِ بِمُكَلَّفٍ. One mukallaf, one responsible person. Okay? So it cannot be a six-year-old who prays the janazah and that's it. Okay? Or an eight-year-old. It has to be a mukallaf. A mukallaf, we said, someone who's baligh, aqil. Baligh, يعني, he's reached puberty and he's aqil, he's sane. Tamam? So, بِمُكَلَّفٍ وَتُسَنُّ جَمَاعَةً, and it's sunnah to pray in jama'ah. Of course, and the more the better for the mayyit, because they're going to make dua for him. وَقِيَامُ إِمَامٍ مُنْفَرِدٍ عِنْدَ صَدِّ رَجُلٍ وَوَسَطِ امْرَأَةٍ. طيب, now they're talking about when we want to pray the janazah, salat al-janazah, where is the dead body placed? And where is the imam and where is the people? So, he says now, let's just go over the English. So, one mukallaf, someone who is pubescent and sane, praying on the deceased Muslim is sufficient to drop the obligation of fard kifaya from the rest of the Muslims, meaning as long as at least one mukallaf person, okay, even if it is just one woman, prays the janazah prayer over a Muslim's body, it suffices and it's considered to have fulfilled the fard kifaya of someone praying over the dead Muslim. Fard kifaya, you said, this is a communal obligation. As long as one person does it, then nobody will be sinful. And if nobody does it, then everybody is sinful. Tamam? However, the more people pray over the deceased, the better. Now, who said that? طيب. And it's sunnah to pray the janazah in congregation. Na'am, sahih. Right? So that's what happens here. You'll get a message on your WhatsApp. You'll see a message on Facebook, or someone will tell you. So salat al-janazah in wherever it is, in Akram Jum'ah, in Southwest Masjid. Right? And people will go. And what they do usually is, in both locations here, they'll wash the body. There's a place to wash the body. And then the body will be brought in the front. Tamam. So it is recommended for the imam to stand during the janazah prayer at the following locations. Right? At the chest if the deceased is a man. Right? So let's say the body is like this. At the chest if the deceased is a man. Okay? And at the head, okay, if the, at the waist if the deceased is a woman. Okay? Some recommend this. As long as the mayyit is in front, بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَعْنِي, that's fine. It's not a big deal. And this shouldn't be something that people should fight about. There's some hadith showing that the Prophet ﷺ was at the chest of a man, and so they'll use that as a tool to say anywhere to stay. But the mayyit shouldn't be like back there, and we're praying. He shouldn't be back here, and we're praying here. He should be in front of us. Otherwise, it wouldn't be considered as salat al janazah on that person. طيب, how is the salah prayed? Okay, how is the salah prayed? So the way the salah is prayed, yukabbir arba'an. So how many takbirat are there? Four takbirat, yukabbir arba'an. Those of you who've gone to Umrah or Hajj, hands up. 1, 2, 3. You must have prayed at least like 10 or 15 salat al-janazah, right? Yeah, every day, every salah almost, salatun al-amwati rahmukumullah. Salatun al-amwati rahmukumullah. So if you've gone to Medina or Mecca, you were forced to learn it when you were there. Tamam. Those of you who have never went to Hajj, maybe you don't know what to talk about, but over there, because there's so many janazas, it is prayed so many times, subhanAllah. Okay? The way it's prayed, it's arba' takbirat, okay? Thumma yukabba arba'an, okay? And this is narrated by Ibn Umar. Yaqra' ba'da al-ula wa ta'awud, okay? Na'am. Yaqra' ba'da al-ula wa ta'awud al-fatiha. So in the first, Allahu Akbar, there's no need for istiftah, subhanAllah, there's no need for that. You just say A'udhu minash shaitanir rajim, Al-Fatiha, okay? And then you say Allahu Akbar again, okay? And in each takbir, it's recommended to raise your hand. It is recommended to raise your hand, okay? وَيُصَلِّ عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَعْدَ الثَّانِيَةِ. So now you say the thaniya, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim innaka, okay? That one, as-salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَدْعُو بَعْدَ الثَّالِثَةِ, Allahu Akbar, the third one now, okay? And now you start making dua for the mayyit. This is where most people will not know what to do, or will get stuck, or okay, and really, they, if you don't know, if you don't remember anything, Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina, oh Allah, forgive our those who are alive and those who are dead, right? Okay, and some scholars say it has to be in Arabic. Some say it's okay. Lakin we have, you can do some ad'iya from yourself if you know some, okay, but we have some in the Sunnah, right? And there's different narrations here. The one that is mentioned, Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina, oh Allah, forgive the ones that are dead and alive. وَشَاهِدِنَا وَغَائِبَنَا, those who are here and those who are not here, who are present and not here. وَصَغِيرِنَا وَكَبِيرَنَا, and our young and our old. وَذَكِرِنَا وَأَنْثَانَا, and our male and female. إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مُنْقَالَبَنَا, okay, مُوثُوَانَا, يعني where we're going to end up in our final location. وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and you have power and قدرة over everything. اللهم من أحيته منا فأحيه على الإسلام. Whoever you're gonna when you bring them back, then bring them back, or whoever's gonna give, you're gonna give life, then give him life on Islam, والسنة. ومن توفيته منا فتوفه عليها, يعني توفه على الإيمان. Another narration, okay, yeah, توفه على الإيمان, يعني let him pass away or take him back on in the state of إيمان. اللهم اغفر له, oh Allah, forgive him. وارحمه وعافيه وعفو عنه, right, and pardon him, okay. وأكرم نزله, and honor his place. وأوسع مدخله, or ووسع مدخله, يعني make it wide, make his قبر wide, right, because the wider it is, the better it is for him. وسع مدخله وغسله بالماء والثلج والبرد, يعني, and wash him from the sins, okay, with rain and snow. ونقه من الذنوب والخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. This is the hadith that you hear all the time. Yeah, and clean him from his bad deeds, just like the white cloth is cleaned from any dark spots, right? من الدنس, okay. وأبدله دارا خيرا من داره, and يعني give him a home and a destination better than the one that he had. وزوجا خيرا من زوجه, okay, and a spouse better than the spouse, and this is done for the married people, okay. وادخله الجنة, and enter him in Jannah. وأعذه من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار, and protect him from the punishment of the grave. He's going in the grave, we have to make dua for that, and the punishment of the fire. وافسح له في قبره ونور له في, يعني, and widen his قبر, right, because the قبر is tight, the Prophet ﷺ told it is tight on the person. ونوره, yeah, and put light in that, in the قبر. طيب, what happens if he's not like married or he's a young boy or he's someone who's not sane? Okay, Salim, one second, I'll get to you inshallah. وَإِنْ كَانَ صَغِيرًا أَوْ مَجْنُونًا قَالَ, if it was someone who's a young boy, like 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, not baligh, right? Or he's majnoon, someone who was... So what's the common denominator between these two? What's the common denominator? They're not مُكَلَّفِين. تمام, they're not مُكَلَّفِين. We're going to say forgive their sins, but they were not مُكَلَّفِين. And so they would not have been, they would not have had sins to be, because they die, they have no sins, subhanAllah. So for them you say, اللهم اجعله دخرا لوالديه. Oh Allah, make this like an investment and a reward for his, يعني a reward waiting for them. الدخر, something that you store for the future. Okay, لوالديه for his parents. وفرطا, وفرطا. الفرط basically is something that precedes, يعني something that goes ahead of them and makes their, يعني their destination nicer and easier. وَأَجْرًا شَفِيعًا مُجَابًا, and basically a reward, okay, intercession for them. اللهم ثقل به موازينهما, okay, وأعظم به أجورهما, and يعني raise their ranks and make their scales heavy. So all goes back to the parents, yeah. وَأَلْحِقُ بِصَالِح سَلَفِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, yes, and يعني make him from the righteous believers, okay, and send righteous believers after him. وَجَعْلُهُ فِي كَفَالَةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, وَجَعْلُهُ فِي كَفَالَةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, what's he talking about? Make him under, يعني the supervision of Ibrahim. We have a hadith that the young who die from this ummah will be with Ibrahim alayhi salam. The young boys will be with the young children, يعني, will be with Ibrahim. So this is where the du'a is coming. وَقِهِ بِرَحْمَتِكَ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ, and protect him from عذاب الجحيم. And then he says, وَيَقِفْ بَعْدَ الرَّابِعَ قَلِيلًا. Okay, so now in the first one he did أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, okay, بسمله and فاتحة, okay. And then after the second takbir, Allahu Akbar, he said salam upon the Prophet salam, like the second part of tashahhud, okay. On the third one, he made supplication, the ones that we just mentioned now, okay. Any of those are fine. And if you're not sure, Allahu Akbar lahu warhamu. Allahu Akbar lamayyitin wahiyin. Taib. Also, one of the things that they recommend is that when you're, especially if you know Arabic, change the dhamir, the pronouns when you're making dua, okay. Yani if it's a female, Allahu Akbar laha warhamha. Okay, I know for some of you, like, oh, how am I supposed to know that? Well, you try your best, okay? But this is for the male. Allahumma ghafir lahu wa rahamhu. And you'll see in the Muslim countries, they'll tell you, okay, today, tufiya, okay, rajul wa mra'atan, a male and two females. Okay, so then you will use the plural, the plural. Ghafir lahum wa rahamhum. Oh, today, one boy died. Okay, اغفر له. Today, one woman died. اغفر لها وارحمها, and so on. تمام? That's why you should learn Arabic. طيب, جميل. And then he says, and then in the fourth one now, in the fourth one, the madhab, they say, يسكت. يعني there's quiet. He takes a pause, and then he does تسليم. You can do two تسليم, but one is fine. And one is what is recommended in the madhab. One تسليمة. Okay, السلام عليكم. And then you're done. طبعا, this whole salah, you're standing. For those who've never done it before, you're standing the whole time. Okay, some other ulama, they said that you can make dua for yourself. You can make dua for yourself in the fourth one, okay, before the imam says taslim, okay. Na'am, because he says, وَيَقِفْ بَعْدَ الرَّابِعَ قَلِيلًا وَيُسَلِّمْ وَيَرْفَعْ يَدَيْهِ مَعَ كُلِّ تَكْبِيرًا, and he raises his hand for every takbira. And so basically, here in the footnotes, he says, أَرْكَانَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ. There's seven of them, six of them, عفوا. Six pillars of Salat al-Janaza. He says, القيام في فرضها لقادر. نعم, as long as one person that is مكلف, يعني قادر, praise it, that's number one. Number two, التكبيرات الأربع, there has to be four تكبيرات. سنة is to raise your hand, it's not, يعني it's not a ركن. If you don't raise your hand, it's still valid. قراءة الفاتحة, reading فاتحة. الصلاة على النبي, the صلاة upon the Prophet, that's in the second تكبيرة. الدعاء للميت, that's number five, okay. And number six, الترتيب, the order. So you can't like start with دعاء of the mayyit, and then so the first takbira has to be the fatiha, the second takbira has to be salah upon the Prophet sallam. You have leniency in the third and fourth to make dua of the mayyit. This is where you have some flexibility. You can do dua of the mayyit and the third or the fourth one. What happens if someone does more than four takbiras? It's still valid. Okay, it's still valid if someone does more than four takbirat. That is still valid bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And now, okay, so now that we're done with the salah, we're done the salah, assalamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum. Now, tafadhal Salim, yes. Tafadhal.
If you're praying and you start crying, like, not out of the mercy of Allah, then your prayer
Na'am, we mentioned that, sah, if you remember, we said from the things that break the salah, right? Crying for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طبعاً here in the salat al-janaz, if someone is crying, okay, because a person has died, they missed them, is that what you're trying to ask here? Yeah? طبعاً this is from the fitrah. The person tries to hold it. He tries to hold it. طبعاً he's doing it maybe out of remembrance of, يعني, it could be out of remembrance of death, okay, or remembering the day of judgment, or that we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very common. The person tries to, and tries not to make it loud, يعني. But yeah, as long as it's something it's related to the akhir, related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be fine. But if it's something else, يعني, he's crying that, you know, Liverpool lost, or something, I don't know, astaghfirullah, then yeah, your salah is batal. Yes, na'am, yajuz, na'am. That's what we do. Yes, so that's why, and sometimes they'll say, you know, a man and two females have passed, then they do the janazah for both of them together. Na'am. Yeah. Yeah, one salah is fine. Yajuz, na'am. Yajuz and two salih salah. Na'am. So they'll put them next to each other. So they'll put the male and the female and the child. You know, like if you, subhanAllah, I mean, I've been, you know, I've prayed somewhere families have passed. I've, like, the five, yani, some ulama restrict the number, yani, if it's too many. But yeah, yani, you can do multiple ones. Type now, what happens now? So now, usually here, what they do now, they're going to go put them in the car, right? In the Muslim countries, usually the qabr is close to where the masjid is. So usually, every masjid or every janazah in the Muslim countries usually has a maqbar next to it. So that's why they actually make that one close to it. And if you've done it in Medina, مثلاً, Baqi' right? Baqi' is the famous cemetery where a lot of the Sahaba are in Baqi'. And so, you know, if you ever go, يعني, and it's one of the things that you should try. Okay, you need to try to make sure. And they're fast because as soon as you pray, depending where you are, you need to plan it properly. You need to be by Baqi' because it's a big masjid, right? You want to try and try to go with them because they walk fast, right? And so, what's going to happen now? Now, we need to carry the deceased, right? We need to carry the body. And it says here, وَسُنَّ تَرْبِيعٌ فِي حَمْلِهَا. Okay? So, the sunnah is to hold it with four people. Okay? To hold it with four people. This is the sunnah that four people will hold. Okay? You have here the body, right? There's the, like the, whatever, if it's a casket or whatever, it's a flat piece of wood or whatever it is, usually there's يعني some a place to hold from it, okay? And نعم المحمل or there's different names for it, يعني what do we call it in English? Huh? And نعش in Arabic, in English what do we call it? Huh? Coffin, casket, coffin. I don't know if they call it. The coffin is the closed of the whole. Yeah, I don't know. يعني call it an open casket. طيب المهم. So now. They say you start from the right side, the top right side, and then right, and the bottom right side, and then the top left, and the top. So each one comes and grabs it, and they go and carry that person. Also, it's recommended to have some people walk in front, and someone who's riding behind, in case there's something that is needed. Okay, and one of the Sahaba said that in one of the janazat, he saw the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr walking in front. Naam, he saw Abu Bakr. Yeah, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبا بكر وعمر يمشون أمام الجنازة. They were walking in front of it. Right? So now the question of the car. Obviously here, ضرورة. We need to have a car because they say it's makruh to have a rider in front. The rider should be behind. تمام. طبعا what happens here is the main car has the body, okay, and then they go in front and everybody what? And everybody follows to Cochrane. صحيح. Everybody follows to the cemetery, right? And so from the sunnah is to stay close to them, okay? Follow them exactly in that way. Don't be like, oh, I'm going to be smart, go for a shortcut. Try to follow them, okay? Stay behind them, okay? So here, it would be fine. It would be fine. طيب. So he says here, وَسُنَّ تَرْبِيعٌ فِي حَمْلِيَا. It's sunnah to do four, okay? Sunnah to do four people carrying the deceased, one in each corner, okay? وَإِسْرَاعٌ, to do it fast. Not too fast that the body is going to fall or, you know, you get a speeding ticket. But يعني, don't go slow motion. يعني, أصلاً, if you go too slow, you get a ticket. وَكَوْنُ مَاشٍ أَمَامَهَا وَرَاكِبٍ لِحَاجَةٍ خَلْفَهَا. Yeah, there's some people walking in front, okay, and there's some a rider behind it, okay. نعم, better to be walking in front of the deceased, okay. Those who are riding in a vehicle or an animal should be behind the deceased, and that's why here, right, everybody goes behind. Why? طبعا, if you're in Masjid Nabawi, okay, and this is this is what I did when I was there. I think Sheikh Ali was with me. I think so. What we did is, if you want to catch how they're going to bury, you need to go ahead of them. So that's allowed. That's what he's saying here. Okay? It's better to walk ahead of them. But if you're going to ride a camel or a horse or a car, then you go behind. احترام للميت. يعني, out of respect for the mayit, right? So if you can go, if you're going to walk to Cochrane, I don't know how many hours that would take. But you can walk ahead of them. ما في مشكلة. Okay? Or if you live next door or whatever. Okay? But if you're going to ride, you go behind them. If you're going to ride, you go behind them. You try not to go ahead of them. So you go, that's why. يعني, you don't want to go there ahead of them. And this is not something that is recommended. Okay? Be close to the deceased as much as possible while escorting him, her to the grave. Now, try to be close. Try to be close to the deceased. He says here, وَقُرْبٌ مِنْهَا, and to be close. وكونه قبر قبر لحد لحدا yeah لحدا اللحد أو اللحاد, what is it? It's basically when you open the grave and you open it on the side of it, okay? Maybe I have, yeah, I think I have an image here. Yeah, so if we're looking from the side here, good. So if we're looking now from a side view, which you can't in reality, okay? But if you're looking from the side view, okay, that's the top is right here, and this is the depth of the grave. Okay, so you dig down and then you open on one of the sides. طبعاً, it makes more sense to the one closer to the Qibla because you want him to face the Qibla. يعني, he's going to be facing the Qibla. If I'm going side like this, this is the Qibla. So if this was the high, we would lay him down like this on the line of the prayer. Okay, and his face would be facing the Qibla. Is that what everybody? We would lay him down like this and he would be facing the Qibla. So you're putting like a spot under there. Okay, you're putting a spot, yeah, under there. And you want him to face the Qibla. And you can put something there to make it hold, like some stones or a piece of wood. Okay, people sometimes here, if you've seen it here, they'll put like just a few pieces of wood to hold the body there so it doesn't move. Afwan? If it's this way or that way? Head is this way or head is that way? Does it matter? نعم, but right side is what's recommended to put him on his right side. So it would have to be head up this way. Yeah, نعم, good. حسنتم. And while you're doing it, you say بسم الله وعلى ملتي رسول الله. بسم الله وعلى ملتي رسول الله, as it was narrated. Okay. So to make the grave al-ahad, this is called al-ahad. This little corner here in the bottom. Okay. Is it wajib to do al-ahad? No, it's not. This is what the sunnah is. This is recommended. Okay. And it actually makes it easier for digging and putting more bodies later. Okay. So to do al-ahad, to dig the grave vertically down and then dig into the one of the sides of the wall of the grave to place the body therein. This is recommended. Either side is fine. Then also reciting the following supplication while entering the deceased into the grave. Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. And on the religion of the Prophet ﷺ. And also to lay the deceased on the right side in the grave. Yeah, that answers your question. Okay. وعلى شقه الأيمن وعلى شقه الأيمن ويجب استقباله القبلة. They say this is wajib. It's wajib to make him face the Qibla. So now we're looking from the top. So if we're looking on the top now, we're on top now. We put him down. It will look like this. If the Qibla is that way, okay, if the Qibla is north here, okay, his face will be facing that way. He's on his right side. That's his back, okay. Now the wooden plaques will be put on the side to close the lahad. And then we can start putting the dirt on top. Tamam. But it's wajib to face the Qibla in the grave. طيب. The things that are makruh to do. The things that are makruh. وَكَرُهَا بِلَا حَاجَةٍ جُلُوسُ تابعها قبل موضع قبل وضعها. So yeah, they say that it's makruh when you go to a janazah. Okay, you go now to Cochrane and stuff like that to just sit down. Okay, before it is placed, it's makruh. يعني out of respect to the deceased to sit down without need before burying the deceased. If someone is in need, someone is sick, someone is ill, then there's no problem. Okay. Also, they say وتجصيص قبرين. This is where now it gets interesting and there's a lot of talk. التجصيص. Anybody know what تجصيص means? Okay. Yeah, bricks and gyps, like and different things and cement, right? وتجصيص خبرين. And this is where يعني we have hadith. The Prophet صلى نهى أن يجصص القبر رواه مسلم. Yeah. This is hadith Jabir. نعم. So and also the writing on it. نهى the Prophet صلى الكتابة على القبور. Okay. So now this is the where so the majority of the ulama, as far as I know, the majority of the madhahib, except the Hanafiya, they said that you are not allowed to build something like concrete and cover it up. Okay. You can place something so it's known that it's a grave, and a piece of wood or something like that. So it's known that it's a grave, okay? And you're not allowed to write on it. You're not allowed to write on it. I know some of you say, okay, Hakif, because we have direct nahi from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay, we have direct nahi from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-Kitab alayha. The Hanafiya, they allowed it. They allowed it to write on it. But the hadith is, it has nahi. Now, a nahi usually, يعني prohibition, usually is for tahrim. But the least is al-karaha. So that's why here, the matin, he mentioned karaha, okay, wa yukrah, it's makruh, okay. And so, what would make it okay is if there's a darura. So someone might say, well, it's darura, so I need to know where my, how am I going to know? And how am I going to know this is the relative and if you've been to places where they don't put names, it's hard to find them. Naam? Sah. Tab, how do you find them? Let's say that we're going to say that this is the opinion and we cannot, there's no other choice. Tab, and here is karaha. Karaha meaning, what's karaha mean? Yeah. It's better to leave. If you leave it, you get reward for it. Tamam? How would you find it? People know, like the 36 rows left. You know, this is one of the ways to find out. Okay, you can leave any other sign that you want. But when it comes to Qubur, there's a lot of tashdeed. There's a lot of tashdeed from the Prophet ﷺ. And when you see what's happening nowadays in some places, you realize why. Right? You have millions of people. I think I can say millions of people doing haram things in the graves, at the graveyards. And not just haram, doing things that are that will take you out of Islam. Right? So that's why there's these restrictions on the qubur. Because we see now what happens. Okay, people start elevating people start writing things on them. There's a lot of... The ulama are very careful when it comes to this. So they say تجصيص قبر, to put some kind of like cement or plaster or anything like that, which also includes burying a person in a box. وبناء, to put like a whole shrine on it. And you see that in many places they build a shrine and people then they, oh, there must be someone holy like a prophet or something. And then people start making dua and put money in there, right? Al-Masjid Al-Amawi, the masjid in Damascus, in Sham, in Syria. Okay, if you've been there, there is one of these in there. And they say it's the qabr of when I went down in 2007, they said it's the qabr of Yahya alayhi salam. Okay, and it's a shrine in the masjid. يعني في وسط المسجد. Imagine there's a shrine out there. It's in the wasat of the masjid. And there's money in there and photos of children and مش عارف ايش. So this is all like, يعني that's not right. This is not part of the deen. These are not people who are putting tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Yahya alayhi salam have to do with any of this? Tamam? That's why the Sharia is very strict when it comes to these things. Some ulama, they said it's okay to put a piece of wood or something with the name, just so you know that this is the qabr of that person. وَبِنَاءٌ وَكِتَابَةٌ, writing. Like some people write like a poem, it's not going to benefit him, it's not going to, here's the thing. Like, we can use some general rules when it comes to these things, is that we have to see, was this something that the Sahaba could have, the Rasulullah could have done here? Yeah, they could have done that, okay? Did they do it? Do we have some evidences? If you don't find evidence, then there's no need for you to do it. Because whatever need you needed now, we're going to say to find them, they need it as well. يعني من باب أولى, if you've ever been to... The cemetery in Baqi' in Medina, right? It's so, imagine how many janazat. If you're doing janazah every day, imagine how many janazat have been happening. To the point, I talked to one of the locals there who was in charge. He said, every once in a while, they have to dig up the bones and move them so they can rebury people. And they will put the bones in another location. This is for darura. Otherwise, this is muharram. This is not allowed, okay, to touch, to open the grave, right? But you understand the severity of the qabr. يعني. وَكِتَابَةٌ وَمَشْيٌ مَشْيٌ يعني walking on the top of the grave. So if you see a grave there, someone has been buried, don't walk. It's disrespectful to walk on top of it. وَجُلُوسٌ عَلَيْهِ and sitting on it, right? وَإِدْخَالُهُ شَيْئًا مَسَّتْهُ النَّارِ and to put something that has touched the fire. Just احتراما للميت, respect to the mayyit, to not put anything that has touched fire. Don't put anything there that has touched the fire, right? Because you don't want out of tafa'ul, طيب, جميل. Nothing that has touched the fire. So to build something over the grave, it's makruh, to write on the grave, makruh, to walk on the grave, to sit on the grave, put something inside the grave that was touched by fire, that's what we just mentioned right here, tiles, bricks, things like that. And to smile during the process, right? This is a time of death, a time of seriousness. And so, this is not a time to smile or to laugh, right? Jameel, so no one should be laughing or talking about some football game or some whatever, politics, okay? This is a time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember that we're going to be next, okay? And that's the dua we're going to say when we enter, right? وَإِنَّ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ لَحِقُونَ يعني we're joining you very soon, subhanAllah. That's the attitude where, and that's why, I would say one of the most powerful things to kind of bring the person back is janazah, salatul janazah, right? And we know the great reward of salatul janazah, right? Qiratan, like two mountains of reward for the one who attends and actually follows the janazah. And also it's makruh to speak about things, okay, that are not related to the janazah, okay? طيب. And it says here, وَحَرُمَ دَفْنُ, and then we're going to talk about what is haram. It says here, وَحَرُمَ, okay, وَحَرُمَ دَفْنُ, وَحَرُمَ دَفْنُ, اثنيني فأكثر في قبر إلا لضرورة. It's haram to bury more than two people in one place except for a darura. Except for a darura. Like in Baqi' there's a darura, so they usually do that. Okay, they usually put two in the same place, so they'll make one lahad, close it, put another lahad, close it. Okay, that's how they will do it. Okay, so it's haram except for this darura here. So here, and that's why we try to buy more land and expand the area, because eventually it's going to get filled up and we might have to do that. So it's prohibited to bury two more people in the grave except due to necessity. وَأَيُّ قُرْبَةٍ فُعِلَتْ وَجُعِلَ ثَوَابُهَا لِمُسْلِمٍ حَيٍّ أَوْ مَيِّتٍ نَفَعَهُ. This is a great mas'ala. Are you allowed to do good deeds? Okay. Because here he says, وَأَيُّ قُرْبَةٍ, okay, فُعِلَتْ وَجُعِلَ ثَوَابُهَا لِمُسْلِمٍ حَيٍّ أَوْ مَيِّتٍ نَفَعَهُ. It will benefit him. Okay, this is a big mas'ala between the ulama. In some things they have ijma', consensus. Because we have hadith. The Prophet ﷺ heard this man say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى فُلَانِ. He mentioned somebody. I'm going to do hajj on somebody. And the Prophet ﷺ said, did you do hajj? He said, no. He said, do it on yourself, then do for him. So what does that show? That he approved it. هذا يعني إقرار النبي دليل على جواز. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ approved it. So hajj, for example, sadaqah, we have a hadith on sadaqah, right? But now they said, what about the other actions? This is where some of the ulama, they said no. Only the ones that are specifically mentioned. Others said no, we use qiyas, okay? So that's why others will say, you can read Quran, okay? You can do umrah for a person who passed away and they will get their reward. You can do gadeed. You can give, but the question, some of them is, are the physical actions also accepted, like a salah? I'm going to pray some nafil for the person. Some said it's allowed, some said it's not. But definitely the ones mentioned in the hadith are allowed. طيب. وَسُنَّ لِرَجُلٍ. Okay. We're done here, inshallah. This is the last part. وَسُنَّ لِرَجُلٍ زِيَارَةُ قَبْرِ مُسْلِمٍ وَالْقِرَاءَةُ عِنْدَهُ. Okay. طيب. Visiting the graves. طيب. Is it haram or is it halal or is it makruh? طبعاً In the beginning of Islam, it was haram. How do you know this? Because the hadith, كُنْتُ قَدْ نَحَيْتُكُمْ Okay? عَنْ زِيَارَاتِ الْقُبُورِ أَلَا فَزُرُوهَا Okay? So, I used to prohibit you from visiting the graves. Okay? But now, so this is one of the few examples in Sharia, basically, where the nasikh abrogation happens in the same hadith, subhanAllah. Like in the same line, you have the hukum and a nasikh abrogation. Yani there was a hukum, and now there's an abrogation. The issue is that we have a hadith saying that the woman, the za'irat, those who, the women who visit are cursed. Okay? And now the issue is the timing. Now you understand the job of the faqih, it's difficult. Did it come before this hadith or after this hadith? Okay? We have also incident of Aisha going to the janazah of her brother Al-Rahman. Okay? And so, is this before the hadith or after the hadith? Okay? Majority of the scholars, they will tell you that for the woman, it's disliked or haram. It's disliked or haram. For the male, it's allowed and it's recommended to go visit. Okay? Like when you look at the dalils, okay, especially Aisha radiallahu anha, yani someone who's so close to the Prophet there's some narrations, Allah alam on the authenticity, that they asked her, didn't the Prophet yani curse the women that visit the graves a lot? He said, but then he came with the, that was before the actual hadith that came down. أَلَا فَزُرُوا كُنْتُ قُدْ نَهِيْتُكُمْ So that la'in was also during the nahi. So that's how they prove it. Yani there's evidence on both sides. Wallahu a'lam. The woman, what we can say is, because the woman is more likely to do what? To wail and to cry and to be displeased and we see it. If she's scared of that, of doing that, then she's not allowed to go. But if she's someone who is composed, can go and, you know, visit the person, then that should be fine. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah, this is Mus'ala Khalafiyya. So for men visiting the grave of Muslims, the Sunnah, it is disliked for women to visit the graves. This is the opinion of Imam Ahmad. If she knows that she will wail or perform other forms of prohibited actions, wailing like screaming out loud and oh my God, because this goes against the Qadr of Allah. The person should be accepting of the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it will be prohibited for her to go. What about a man who's going to wail? It is also prohibited for him. If he's going to be a person who's going to wail and start screaming and how come my son, this is against the Qadr of Allah. This is something muharram, right? We have to be patient. Yes, it's a difficult time, but the person has to be patient. The grave of the Prophet ﷺ in Al-Madina, in Masjid Nabawi, that's okay for everybody. This is excluded from this hukum. طيب. And it's recommended to do it on Friday before sunrise. Some said that it is mashru', it is okay to recite the Quran at the grave. The dalils are not very strong, weak narrations, okay? Generally, Quran is allowed. But especially like there's a culture of reading Al-Fatiha, there's no narrations on that, there's no proof for that. And so it's better to stay away from it. Yani not to think that this is something that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the qa'idah in a lot of these instances, not always, was this, the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba able to do that? Yes, they could have done Al-Fatiha there at the Qabr. Did they do it? Nobody knows. And this is something public, so there should have been at least one or two narrations on this. But they never did it. Okay, so we see that here there was no need, and the Prophet ﷺ is the most person that would want to do something that would please Allah. Sah, everybody agree? So he didn't do it, so why should you do it? Khalas, do whatever he told you to do, and you'll be fine. Okay? وَمَا أَتَاكُمْ رَسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا طيب. Yeah, you make dua, عادي. You can make dua as much as you can for the mayyit as when you're there. Hello, we're going to talk about the dua when you enter. Do whatever will lighten the deceased's punishment, okay? So we have the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ put like a tree. He told, bring this and put it and water it. It will make it easy for the person, okay? It will make it easy for the mayyit. So, وَقَوْلُ زَائِرٍ Okay, وَمَارٍ It's sunnah for the person who's visiting and passing by to say, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ دَارَ قَوْمِ مُؤْمِنِينَ دار قومي مؤمنين السلام عليكم peace be upon you for the home of the believers يعني here in the grave وإنا إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون if you enter the grave there you'll see it on the plaque in Corcoran okay and inshallah we are coming as well لاحقون يرحم الله المستقدمين منكم والمستأخرين may Allah subhanahu have mercy on the ones who came and the ones who are coming نسأل الله لنا ولكم العافية واسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى to pardon us and to forgive us. اللهم لا تحرمنا أجرهم. Allah, don't deprive us from the reward. ولا تفتننا بعدهم. And don't, يعني, put us in fitna, in trial after them. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلَهُمْ, and forgive us and forgive them. And then he says, وَتَعْزِيَةُ الْمُصَابِ بِالْمَيِّتِ سُنَّةِ, and it's sunnah to do ta'ziyah. What's a ta'ziyah? Ta'ziyah is making it easy on the person. Okay? يعني visiting them. Visiting them after the deceased, usually they'll announce it. There's ta'ziyah at Fulan's house or at the masjid. Usually in Akram Jum'ah, they'll do like a ta'ziyah, you know, Friday from 6 to Maghrib or something, or from Maghrib to Isha. You go, this is sunnah, you go and you give your condolences and you make dua for that person. Does it have to be the family? It doesn't have to be the family. Some cultures, they'll announce it. Okay, we're going to have ta'ziyah in my house Friday, Saturday, Sunday from this time to this time. Okay, from the recommended things, go there and you make dua for them. If you can bring some things that will make it easy for them, right? Maybe some food, let them know, I'm going to bring some food, maybe some water. Because they're going to have visitors, right? You want to make it easy for them so they can actually grieve, right? وَيَجُوزُ الْبُكَاءَ عَلَيْهِ, and it is allowed to cry. This is part of the fitrah, okay, of the Muslim. It's allowed to cry, okay? The Prophet ﷺ cried when Ibrahim ﷺ, Ibrahim, his child, Ibrahim, passed away, رضي الله عنه. وَحَرُمَ نَدْبٌ وَنِيَاحَةٌ, you know, yelling, screaming, crying, pulling your shirt, okay? All those things are وَشَقُّ ثَوْبٍ, right? Ripping your shirt. وَلَطْمُ خَدٍ, and hitting your face. These are things that more common in women, but also men will do that as well. So this is all haram. This is all muharram, okay? It's not allowed to do. And anything similar to that, okay? Yeah, it is recommended to give condolences to the Muslim family, friends, neighbors, or anyone else impacted by the deceased's death. It is permissible to cry for the deceased to the grief and sadness, okay? And these are prohibited. Crying while mentioning numerous good qualities or actions of the deceased, okay? He's crying like, oh, he was so good. Oh, why did this happen to him? Oh, this is against the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Crying for the deceased in a screaming and wailing manner, right? Tearing clothes, slapping cheeks, plucking out hairs, okay? These behaviors show this is, yani you're dissatisfied with the qadr of Allah, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that he was past this time, and we say, إِنَّ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهِ رَاجِعُونَ, we make dua for them. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And with that, we are, alhamdulillah, done Kitab al-Janaiz. I'll answer your question just for a second. So we're done with Kitab al-Janaiz. We're done with Kitab al-Salah. And so what we're going to do, inshallah, next week we'll have, like we did last time with al-Tahara, we will have like a quiz. Okay, you'll log in with your phone or your iPad. Okay, so study, inshallah. If you want, look, some of you have come the whole time, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Some of you came in the end, some of you came in the middle, and maybe skipped a few. If you really want to benefit from this, sit and actually go over the notes, inshallah. I'll share this. Go over the lectures, put it times two speed or whatever, and try to become ready and come do the test, inshallah. That's the way you will benefit the most out of this, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So we've covered all these topics. And then, inshallah, what's going to happen after we do the test next week, we'll have some food as well, we'll have some prizes. We will start Fiqh of Siyam. In the book, he goes straight to Zakah. What we'll do is we'll start Siyam. Sheikh Hassan is going to come do a Zakah workshop. Okay? Not from the book, but just kind of from a contemporary point of view. You have a lot of questions, so you'll have them ready for him, inshallah. We'll announce when he will come. And then basically, I will continue Fiqh of Siyam. And then after Ramadan, we will do Zakah from the book, inshallah. We'll do Zakah from the book. You had a question?
Yeah. So if somebody is, say, living in Calgary and say, working far away, like in North America, trying to get away from home, so is it a good idea to bring him back home to burial, or should he be buried in the same location as the guy?
Wallahi, this is a good question. If he's in a better place, like, because it depends on the situation, and it depends on the difficulty, and it depends on the cost, and it depends if this is something harmful or, if someone dies in a better place, Muslim country, etc., I think it makes sense to leave him there. It's just better to pass. And if someone dies in Medina, you're not going to bring him to Calgary. why you want to be in Calgary? If he's in a better place, leave him there. What if there's mashaqqa to bring him and high cost and stuff like that? And it might be easier for them to, as long as there's a Muslim cemetery. Now, we would say that it's better to bring him if he's in a place where there's no Muslim cemetery. Because where is he going to put him in a place? It's not allowed for him to be in a place, you know, with non-Muslims and in a non-Muslim cemetery. So it will depend on the situation for that person. It will depend on the different situations and the masalih. We see the masalih, and then we'll do that, inshallah. Now, last question, and then we'll do the salah.
Tad.
How far is Cochrane? How many kilometers from here? Anybody? No. Nope. 50? Okay. Yeah. So the fuqaha have mentioned, يعني for the leaders, etc. People who are known, and they take this from the story of Najashi. Najashi, they prayed Salat al-Ghaib on him. He was a well-known figure. Tamam. And so the Prophet said, "Mata al-yuma rajulun salih," and they prayed on him. So yeah, they use qiyas on that. They'll say yes. مثلاً, if a leader, a Muslim leader, passes away, someone who was known and he did good for the ummah, you can pray Salatul Ghaib. Yani, if the parents, no, that wouldn't be something mashru'. Wallahu a'lam. It wouldn't be something mashru', something to pray janazah. The janazah would be prayed there, and that would be sufficient for them. What you can do for your parents is make du'a for them, sadaqah, all these things, okay? But the salat al-janazah, it's done there at that time, okay? And as long as one person does it, that is fine. Your question was about what? What was the question?
About
Muslim cemetery. Yeah. So yes, and that's why it's fard kifaya on the on the community to have a cemetery. He needs to be buried with the Muslims, okay? If there's a case when there isn't a cemetery, then they would try to transport him to a Muslim cemetery close by. Yani, or somebody will purchase it. We try our best to be, because he's going to be resurrected there. He's there, yani, and these qubur, yani, the Prophet said, it's either a pit of the hellfire, or it's a piece of Jannah. Yani, it's better to try to put the Muslims in the Muslim graves. Wallahu ta'ala, we'll stop there, and we'll do the iqamah, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.